Glory to Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm so pleased to see you today. It gives me strength to be together, to worship together, to commune together. So pleased also and delighted to welcome those who are here, perhaps for the first time, or the first few times. I hope you will join us at our agape meal, our lunch later. If you were to ask me today, specifically today, what would be my favorite scripture verse from St. Paul, from the epistles of St. Paul, I would probably say that scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the deacon read for us so beautifully. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, so that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Today, at least, it's one of my favorite verses because it's a verse of promise, a verse of consolation. It's a message of God's love and presence with us in our hearts. But we have a different verse today also, which probably is mistakenly not appreciated to the same degree. Those who wish to save their life will lose it. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it. It's a difficult and challenging message, but it is the same message as the verse that I told you is my favorite today. It's the same. 2 weeks ago, we had the Sunday before the cross. Last week, we had the Sunday of the cross. Today, we have the Sunday after the cross. Insistence, the message of the church, insisting we pay attention by giving it to us 3 weeks in a row, just in case we missed it or just in case you weren't here. The church wants you to know the message of the cross is God's love. Father Michael would say, the hands outstretched on the cross are the embrace of the entire world in God's love. I'm going to steal some words from a sermon by Bishop Irenae of London on this feast day. Some of you have heard this before. What he tells us is that with the cross here in the midst of the church, week one before, week two of, and week three after, the church is placing before us and spells out in very plain terms the cost of what it means to be a Christian. That there is a price to be paid. St. Paul's letter, which we read today, tells that the cross is what allows us, that allows the life of Jesus to be real, active, engaging, and challenging in this, my mortal body, my existence on this earth. But that having been crucified with Christ, he says, not literally, he did not die that way, Peter did, but by baptism and by denying himself, which is open to all of us, it is no longer St. Paul who lives, no longer I who live, because of my baptism, but Christ lives in me. This is why it's the same message, the light of Christ shining in our heart. Of course, we follow the same path as the apostles, confused and dazed much of the time. We follow the path of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who want to debate with Jesus and oppose him and the message he has. We follow Peter, who on hearing this message of the cross says, no, Lord, it can't be this way. This will not work for your message. You are the Messiah. But I have to listen to the Lord because he knows better than I do. And Christ spoke explicitly in the gospel, those who wish to save their life will lose it. To be a child of Christ, to be a Christian, costs one simple thing, your life. Because, in fact, that is all we have to give. Nothing else matters. It's our life. We give it. You don't have to have wealth. You don't have to have education. You don't have to have social standing or power. You don't have to have influence. You don't have to be of a certain age. You don't have to have stature or stability. You just have to have a life that you are willing to give. And everyone has that life. And you and I did not create it. It was the gift to us in the beginning anyway. It's the universal reality that every human, we all have the same thing, we all possess, whatever else our circumstances might be, whatever injustices a person may have suffered, whatever terrible circumstance that makes some people weak and some people strong in this world, everyone has that which has that can be given and offered to Jesus Christ. No one is deprived of this opportunity. But we can't follow the Lord without giving it, paying the price, so to say. And we want to give the Lord just a little bit of what's in our wallet, not all. I don't mean money, I mean our life. He who wishes to save his life will lose it. Jesus does not say, those who wish to save their life might lose it. Will. It's a vain attempt to think that we can work our way through this life to some kind of balance with self-help, with all the alternatives out there, the billion-dollar so-called health and wellness business. That's all about saving myself in this life only, wanting to be God and to control things. True joy, true happiness, true healing, and the acquisition, the gift of God's kingdom, the light of Christ shining in our hearts, cannot be acquired by any other means. Then that which Christ lays before us, and he does it openly, he tells you, this way is death. It's death, spiritual and bodily. Annihilation, meaninglessness, and a dead end. This way is the life. It's a vain attempt to think we can work our way through it. Now look at the cross, here in the middle of the church. We put it in the middle of the church for a reason. This is the way we go. This is the sign of the Christian. Now we choose, each one, freely. There's no compulsion. God does not force. Whether we follow it or not, no one can force us. God will himself will stand beside you, weeping, like the father waiting for the prodigal son, but he even will not force. And you cannot be pressured into it. The message of the cross, this message is foolishness to the world. And like the Pharisees in the gospel today, who thought it was their turn to best Christ in a debate, being justified by their law, Jesus responds to them by speaking of love, love of God and love of neighbor as the absolute highest thing in which we give all ourselves to it. But we think of self-preservation. And rather than grow angry with us and impatient with us and frustrated with us and the incredible capacity of our human nature to be dense and thick and not see what lies before us, the multitude and the witness of the saints and the glory of God. Our Lord, in his infinite patience and his infinite love, places again and again and again before us the signs of redemption. Every illness, every struggle, every sorrow, every difficulty, every obstacle in your life. When you don't know what you're doing, you have the cross. And the Lord is there, helping. This is the second message of the cross, that it is not just us denying ourselves and giving it all away, but we're giving it to the one who gives us life and who is love. And so here in the midst is the cross. But not just the cross, but one that is decorated beautifully with branches and leaves and flowers, so that it is beautiful. So that when you look at the cross, you see the power of the cross to create beauty and new life, fragrance. These are the signs of life, these flowers and plants, sign of birth and newness. So this is why we don't look at the cross as the thing of grief and sorrow or despair. But we look at it so that we might be reminded that through the cross, my brothers and sisters, joy comes into the world if you will let it. How? How is this joy? We sing about it at Matins every Saturday night when we do that service. Because the cross of Christ, and your crosses too, it is the testimony of God's love, the experience of God's presence, when it seems that he has abandoned us. He hasn't. He cannot. He has gone to the grave and Hades for us. Yes, his presence. We call it a life-giving cross. We call it the tree of life. And what was the source of pain and death becomes the source of joy and healing, the source of understanding. But we have to listen to ourselves. You know, we like to go everywhere, but inside ourselves. And we prevent that from happening to discover the cross that the Lord has planted in our heart by all the noise, the TV, the radio, all the blah blah we do, all the defensiveness, all the justification. We need to take a trip into our heart to see what's really there so that the cross of Christ can pull us out of that despair. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, making his and our enemies, the devil and sin, his footstool. That's the message of the cross. Let's not be like the thief on the other side, who rejected the cross, who blamed God for his problems and spoke abusively to Christ, and like the Pharisees, wanted to debate and interrogate the Lord. But let us imitate the grateful thief and acknowledge, like he did, the justice and the wisdom of God. And because we are never closer to Christ than when we are on a cross, in our moments of difficulty and pain and sorrow, let's speak to him and let us ask him to remember us so that we too may hear him say, "Today you will be with me in paradise." For all things, says St. Paul, are for your sake, that grace through the cross, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Amen.